July 30th, just a couple days ago, was Kate Bush's 54th birthday. I've been following Kate for 30 years now, and it's really been an interesting trip. The last 15 years or so, she's kind of withdrawn, though I have some music tonight to play for you from 50 Words for Snow, her most recent album. She was the first person that I regarded as an eccentric genius in music who was younger than me, if that makes any sense at all. I mean, now that I'm old, everybody's younger than me, except for the ones that are older. When I was in my late 20s, it was kind of remarkable to find somebody who was, you know, around 20, 21 at the time, who was making such really amazing poetic leaps in musical construction. And I that means I came in to Kate on her strangest album, the one called The Dreaming, which in some ways is regarded as her only failure album because it didn't hit number one on the bloody charts. But, you know, I don't care. Anyway, let me play a couple of rarities. This is the 45 version of Babushka. And everybody, you know, who is a Kate Bush fan has the Never Forever album, but that has a segue in the tracks. You know, it's all stuck together. It was recorded at Abbey Road. Here's the single of Babushka. Broken glass. I'm not going to play the super early stuff right now, but I do want to give a listen to some of the tougher side of Kate. Here's one of her heaviest rock songs. It's called Violin, and it is from her second album, Never Forever, which features on the front cover Kate standing on a hill, and from under her skirt, so out of her motherhood, is flowing a cornucopia of geese and bats and whales and creatures that I guess populate the world of Kate Bush. Violin, her rockingest song of all, I think. But since at the same time that I'm playing this Kate Bush set, over on my Facebook page, on that photo of Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder, there's a whole thread going, a discussion of that music. Reggie, my friend Reggie, who I worked with over at Rhino Records back in the 90s, is a huge buff on all this, and he's adding great songs to the mix, including one that Stevie wrote for Off the Wall, Michael's greatest album. But I got to take us back to Kate Bush, because that's where I am, and I got to say, for one thing, that I made a big mistake before, and you know, in listening back to this, if I didn't correct it, I'd be nuts. Kate's first album was called The Kick Inside. That came out in 1978. In 1979, she put out an album called Lionheart. That's her second album. In 1980, she put out Never Forever, which is what I've just been playing. Now, to connect up with Stevie Wonder, in sometime, I think it was in 1980, in London, Kate Bush went to a Stevie Wonder concert, and she was blown out of her fucking gourd by it, and she wrote a song about that experience, and it's the first song on her greatest, weirdest album, The Dreaming, and of course, it is Sat in Your Lap. Desert across the water. Sat in Your Lap was inspired by seeing Stevie Wonder. Now, Kate has only done one concert tour in her entire career. It was back in 1979. Now, evidently, well, here's what I know. I'm not even looking this up on Wikipedia or anything. Kate was really good with piano when she was very young. She was kind of a prodigy. And she started writing songs when she was about 10 or 11. Her brother, Patty, who is a professional musician, encouraged her. And he was friends with David Gilmour from Pink Floyd. And when Kate, at the age of about, I believe she was 14, had written so many songs that it was, she was just bursting with songs all the time. I believe Patty said that she had over 200 songs at that point. And when she was asked to do a demo, she recorded like 50 of her songs. But Patty selected a few of them and gave them to Gilmore. Gilmore was so impressed that he got EMI to sign her when she was, I believe, 16, and give her a couple of years to grow and mature before they put out any records. And during that time, she traveled in the Kate Bush band. With the Kate Bush band, they were a bar band that played in pubs throughout parts of the UK in around 76, 77. Then suddenly she wrote the song Wuthering Heights, and they recorded the first album, massive success. So she got her career off to a start. But she only did this one tour, the Tour of Life, it was called, in 1979. Tragically, the night before it was scheduled to open, one of the technicians in the crew, Bill Duffold, was killed. And so they were blighted with a death just before the show began. But the shows were very successful. She played for a few weeks in London as a theater piece, big theater piece. She'd studied meme work, and so she put on a very theatrical show. She was the first solo female to produce herself. She controlled most of her artistry herself. That's what EMI gave her by signing her and letting her grow. They gave her freedom. And she, since she was so successful, she was able to keep it going. And the success was great. There was a legitimate EP, a 12-inch record that came out from the Tour of Life. And this is another one of the great rock songs. There's a video out there of Kate's Tour of Life shows. And so if you can, and this is probably on YouTube, so you could probably look it up. This is the version of James and the Cold Gun from her, actually this comes from a Canadian vinyl copy of the tour EP. Oh, God, I love that. What I have is a Canadian EP of this material, and since the very next track is one of my very favorite of Kate's songs, let me just go ahead and play it straight through. This is Ne t'enfuis pas, Don't Fly Away, a song that she sings in French. And it does not hurt that Kate Bush, at this point in time, 1979, was 21 years old and was as gorgeous a woman as a woman could be. Long black hair, this incredibly beautiful features, dancer's body. Oh, she was my dream. Ne t'enfuis pas. All right, so let's go back to The Dreaming. The Dreaming's the album that I came in on, and I think it's a masterpiece, a musical tour de force. In 93, I have this interview with Katie in Q magazine, and she refers to The Dreaming as her, that was my She's Gone Mad album. And I think it's extraordinary because she was completely free, so she could do whatever she wanted. And one could argue with my choice here, but I think this is the strangest song on the album. It's called Leave It Open, and it apparently, my take on it is that it's the story of Pandora's box, you know. So you know, all that's left in Pandora's box is hope.
I'm in this the to all. I kept it in the cage, watched it weeping, but I made it stay.
As sin. Kate Bush from The Dreaming. Wow. This album is so good. I'd like to play every single track for you. Let me do one more, but which one? Oh my God. I guess we'll be suspended in Gaffa, by which she says it means gaffer tape. Suspended in Gaffa is gaffer tape.
Out in the garden is half of the heaven, and we're only bluffing. We're not ones for busting through walls, but they've told us unless we can prove that we're doing it, we can have it all. He's gonna wangle a way to get out of it. She's an excuse and a witness who'll talk when he's called. But they've told us unless we can prove that we're doing it, we can't have it all. We can't have it all. Something appears in the way that's a plank in the eye with a camel who's trying to get through it. Am I doing it? Can I have it all now? I pull up the plank and say thank you for yanking me back to the fact that there's always something to distract. But sometimes it's hard to know if I'm doing it right. Can I have it all now? Can I have it all now?
Give me my future, what you want. It all
told not to, I'm not a Pandora, and much more like that girl in the mirror. Between you and me, she don't stand a chance of getting anywhere.
Nine, four,
not anywhere.
Nine, four,
no, not a thing.
Nine, four,
she can't have it all.
There's a video for that song that I had back in the 80s that disappeared because it wasn't a hit song, but it's a beautiful video, and I don't know, great stuff, and so and very influential in a way because nobody sounded like that before her. And again, she was the first. Here, just as a sample of something odd, is one of the best covers of the song Wuthering Heights that I've ever heard. This is Pat Benatar from 1980.
Wily, windy moors, we'd roll and fall in.
There we go.
You had a temper like my jealousy, too hot, too greedy. Could you leave me when I needed to possess you? I hated you, I loved you too. Bad dreams in the night, they told me I was going to lose the fight. Leave behind my wuthering, wuthering, wuthering high teeth. It's me, I'm Kathy, I'm Corona. So I
In 1985, Kate exploded with her album Hounds of Love. Her first complete work of just not separate pieces, but organized thought from beginning to end. Even if the Hounds of Love side of the original LP seem to be separate songs, they actually do interlock in their own way. And then the entire second side is a continuous suite called The Ninth Wave. This is the stuff that made her world famous. I mean, Wuthering Heights was a kid. This was the adult woman and at the heights of her abilities. Here's the song, Hounds of Love.
It's in the trees. It's coming.
When I was a child, running in the night, afraid of what I might be. Hiding in the dark, hiding in the street, and a world was full of envy. The hounds of love are haunting. I've always been a coward, and I don't know what's good for me. Oh, here I go, it's coming for me through the trees. Oh, help me, someone, help me, please. You take my shoes off.
Chords this music touches in me. Wow. The Ninth Wave is just an extraordinary thing. I'll just say quickly that The Big Sky and Cloud Busting and Running Up That Hill, which were three massive hit singles in the mid-80s, are part of that first side. I've got a CD, so it's not a side. But anyway, the Ninth Wave suite is just gorgeous beyond belief. It's about drifting down a stream, getting caught in the currents of a river and flowing with the river and waking the witch and watching you without me. And we get to this gorgeous track. The Irish music is played by a group of musicians called Planxty. And that is a very personal thing for me because back in 1976... at Illinois State University in Normal, Illinois, my roommate Craig Jones was the guy who booked all the music that came into a particular thing that was part of the school. So every time these bands would show up, they'd come over to our house afterwards and just jam all night. And one night, Planksty came over to my house and hung out with us and got stoned and played music all night long. It was absolutely gorgeous. But this is Kate Bush from Hounds of Love, and this is The Jig of Life with Planksty.
Hello, old lady. I know your face well. I know it well. She says, na 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 na. Be sitting in your mirror now is the place where the crossroads meet. When you look into the future, never, never say goodbye to my part of your life. Oh no, 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 no. Time, she said, it doesn't belong to you.
She said,
it belongs to me and your little boy and your little girl. And the one hand clapping where on your palm is my little line. When you're written in mine as an old memory. Na 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 na.
Yes, that's The Jig of Life from the Ninth Wave by Kate Bush on from the album Hounds of Love. And I'm going to play one more song, the last song on Hounds of Love, which is this extraordinarily gorgeous song about the sun bursting out in the morning. It's called The Morning Fog.
Do you know? born again into the sweet morning
to it that I don't find that overly sentimental or anything. There's truly a complete use of, you know, every level of what she's doing. She's definitely a fine artist. After Hounds of Love, we come into a long, strange period for Kate Bush, where the music is always interesting, and any individual song is fulsome and bright, but it doesn't, for me, it doesn't burn in the same way. What happens is that occasional tracks appear. Now, I'm talking as a 30-year, you know, person. It's about what I come back to again and again. So my take is not what anybody else's take is. But I find that it's the stuff that I've just been playing through, the Dreaming and Hounds of Love, are the fullest expression of her, you know, like mature talent. And after that, I think she's, for lack of a better word, repeating herself. You know, like, look at what she's doing. She's got an openness that equals, you know, like a Joni Mitchell or somebody. She has a vocal range that puts her, you know, really out there. she knows how to control that. She knows how to build tracks from very small things up. And she worked with the room-sized Fairlight synthesizer to record The Dreaming, for instance. She was always trying to push ahead with what she could do as she was growing. As I say, she reached a point where she was doing things where individual tracks would appear that would just explode with Kate Bush energy. For instance, there was a single that was used in a Nick Rogue movie called Castaway called Be Kind to My Mistakes. Now, I don't know about you, maybe you'll just disagree, but I find this totally straightforward, really, this track just burns for me.
It's alright.
And this one was recorded for that Kevin Bacon movie called She's Having a Baby. But don't think of that movie. This is just called This Woman's Work. Woman's work. Amazing, huh? Anyway, she had the album The Sensual World, which is a fine album, and then The Red Shoes came out around 91, and she even did a film, The Line, The Cross, The Curve, which went with the album The Red Shoes. I actually saw that at the New Art Theater. Then she announced her next album would come out quicker than ever because she had gotten in this habit of saying my next album will be out in 6 months and it'd be 2 years later before the next album would appear. And she said my next album will be in 6 months, and her next album was 12 years later. And she reappeared in 2005 with an album called Ariel, a double CD at that time. And she's put out several things since. Her most recent album is called 50 Words for Snow. And so I want to play one of the major tracks from 50 Words of Snow. This is Kate Bush with Elton John and Snowed In at Wheeler Street.
bother you, but don't I know you? There's just something about you. Haven't we met before?
We've been in love forever.
Top of the hill, we saw Rome burning. I just let you walk away. I've never forgiven myself.
I saw you on the steps in Paris. You were with someone else. Couldn't you see that should have been me? I just walked on by.
Then we met in 42, but we were on different sides. I hid you under my bed, but they took you.
London smog as you crossed the lane, and I never know where you're gonna be next, but I know that you'll surprise me.
Come with me, I'll find some rope, I'll tie us together. I've been waiting for you so long.
There's just something about you.
Your photograph, I still have your smiling face in a heart-shaped frame.
Snow down at Wheeler Street, just two old flames keeping the fire going. We look so good together. don't want to lose you. I don't want to lose you again.
So that's Kate Bush in her 50s, producing fine, mature music. Let's end our little Kate Bush segment here on the Chill Room on killradio.org and take us back to the early voice, the little girl voice that promised so much and delivered what it promised on. This is from Lionheart. This is the title track for Michael.
My lion heart, I'm in your garden, fading fast in your arms. The soldiers suffer, the war is over. The air it shelters, a blooming clover. That ring of prayers fill the names, my life. The pan steals the kids in Kensington Park. You read me Shakespeare on the rolling chairs. That only the poet that never ever ends. All thumping hearts, hold the ravens in, keep the tower.
Oh, England, my lion heart.
That song is about a pilot of a fighter plane who has been shot down, and as he's flying to the earth, he is contemplating his life and his Lionheart and England as he goes to his death. This is the Chill Room on KillRadio.org. We're not done yet. Stay tuned.